It's a good morning so far, isn't it? We're going to have communion, and we're going to lead to the communion, and what we've been doing is singing a song that's tied to something very important that I want to get across this morning. The song, cover me, stretch the corner of thy mantle over me. I'm going to go ahead and read a little bit out of the book of Ruth, and then we're just going to jump in here. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and his wife Naomi. The names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, and they were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah, and they went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives, and the name was of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, but both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Yeah, I want to give you a little insight into this season that was in the life going on here. Right after Joshua, we step into the book of Judges. And in Judges, there's two different verses that say this, that it was the days when there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Okay? And so it was in the day of the Judges that Elimelech and Naomi turned their back on God and left the covenant of faith that they had with God, because there was a famine in Bethlehem, and Bethlehem means house of bread. And instead of sticking it out in the house of bread and waiting for God to turn things around, they decided that they would go out into the world and leave the church and make it on their own. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? And what happens is they go to Moab, and Moab has a god, and the god is Chemosh. And god, that means destroyer. That means subduer. That means fish god. And so they leave Bethlehem, house of bread, covenant relationship with God, and they go over to a place and they switch gods, basically. You could say they took their god with them, but they left. They left the house of bread. They went to Moab. They get to Moab, and the destroyer destroys. How many of you know the god of this age has come to kill, steal, and destroy? And when you start looking for your needs to be met in the world system, it's not going to happen. In fact, the opposite is going to happen, and what you thought you had is going to be taken away from you. And there's so much destruction that comes on the basis of seeking the answers of your life in a system that God didn't design them to be met, because He designed that the answers of your life are met in Him. I want to say Jesus Christ has the love you need, He'll meet the needs that you have in your life, not the God of Moab. So Moab and the Moabites, it's a bad situation. Let's go ahead to this next slide here. God makes masterpieces out of our mess-ups. Somebody say hallelujah. This is the story of the road to redemption, of how God takes someone who's turned their back on, become very bitter. And it's amazing. Go ahead, put the next one up. You cannot judge your future fulfillment by the brokenness of your present situation. Everybody say hallelujah. You cannot say, oh, it's too, God can't help me here. I'm too broken down. I'll never make it. No. God says, I have a plan for you, but there's a couple of things you're going to have to do. And what happened is when Naomi, her husband died, she stayed there for another, 10 years or so, and meets these Moabite women, and they marry her sons, and then they die. Her sons die, and now she's the mother-in-law of these two women, and they're like, what are we going to do? And she's penniless. She's got no... By the way, this whole story is about a redeemer called a kinsman redeemer. This is the whole thing that leads to a moment where a kinsman redeemer steps on the scene and redeems the whole thing back. Are you there? So you can never tell when you're broken situation what God has for you when you come back. So let's go ahead. Number one, you got to leave Moab. And what is destroying your life? You've got to get Moab out of you too. How about that? How many of you know, what's Moab to you? What is Moab to you? What have you done? Where have you gone? What is the thing where you went to look for something to happen in your life other than what the Lord could do for you? And you sought it out in the world system. We all make messes. We make decisions sometimes, don't we? How many of you found out some of your decisions are like, that was a 5-year turnaround. It took 5 years for me to, this is over 10 years for Naomi to leave, come around, and she's bitter. She's bitter when she get. She starts, when she leaves Moab, she's so bitter, she wants to change her name to Mara, which means bitter. So here you got, look, and I don't know what the reasons were. I'm not sure what, if you take that into contemporary terms, I'm not sure what was going on in the church she was going to. But she decided it ain't happening for me here, and we're going to leave, and we're going to go out into the world and find out what the world's got to offer. And then the world, the destruction of all that happens, and now it's like I can't handle that no more, and I'm so full of pain, and the bitterness is so great. But she's made a relationship. She actually made two, and she argues with them. One of you says, you guys, I don't even want you to come with me. This is an amazing story, too, because there's not only Naomi involved, there's Ruth. And Ruth knows what her God is about, and it's not good. Ruth is one of those people that grew up in the world system, under the destroyer. And she meets this new lady and her son and gets married, and then he dies. And she's got a value in her heart that says, I don't know, even though you're bitter and this has been tough on all of us, there's something where you're from that's better than where I'm from. There's something going on in your life that I value greater than what I had going on in my life. And so when Naomi gets to that place and says, I want you guys to just go back. Go back, because how am I going to raise up more sons for you? Can I have another son and him grow up? By the time he grows up, you'll be older. How am I going to take care? And finally, Orpah decides she's going to go back. But Ruth says, where you go, I'm going to go. Your God's going to be my God. I'm going to be buried where you're buried. And there's something about the faith. Let's put up the next slide. You've got to return to the house of bread where the Redeemer is. Everybody say, Bethlehem means house of bread. And the story goes on how when they walk in to town, there's a stir. This is the stir in the townspeople. Naomi's back, been a long way, and brings this Moabite woman named Ruth. By the way, the word Ruth means friend. Ruth's not known anything but the world. And she comes walking into town with Naomi, and she's made a commitment to Naomi. Has no idea what's going to happen in her life, but she wants what Naomi has. It's an interesting thing. You have the house of bread, and somebody's out in the world and they come, but there's a lot of people coming back to the house of bread. There's a lot of people says, I'm embittered by what happened to me, but I met somebody out there and they've lost something too. And we're coming to place where God redeems. We're coming to the house where God redeems. We're coming back to the place where God will work. Let's just camp there just for a minute. How many of you, what is Moab in your life? I said that a minute ago. And what is the turning point God's calling you to? Where are you headed right now in your life? Because the Lord is calling a people back together. The famine's over. The famine's over. The life-giving presence of Jesus is flooding His house. The provisions are made available. It's time to return to the house of bread. Let's just praise the Lord just for a minute. Thank you, Lord, for Your goodness and Your presence. And what happens when the bitter person comes home? The family rejoices. Because those that hung around know that God will deal with the bitterness. He's a good God. He'll remove the bitter hurts. He says, you got a mess up? I'll make a masterpiece out of your mess up. Isn't it amazing too? Naomi blames God for her bad decisions. Isn't it funny how when people always seem to blame God when they made decisions and created an environment for their life to go bad? They left Him. He didn't leave them. They left Him and submitted to another God of another. How many people go looking for something and turn to a drug or some kind of sex thing or something or just work yourself to death or some kind of a thing that never fulfills the love that you need in your heart and never establishes what you're supposed to be about in your life? And you know there's always something missing. And it creates bitterness. And here here, Naomi and Ruth come walking into town. Everybody gets excited. And I just want to tell you, I was bitter. I was broken. I know what the Redeemer does. He makes masterpieces out of mess-ups. I did all the same blame game everybody else does. Are you there? Anybody honest with me right now and understand that you blame God for your foolishness too? We're all the same, aren't we? We blame Him for stuff that we've done. We've gone down this path thinking we're right and we're going to do it our way. How many of you know that you probably think you can do a whole lot more without God and probably not as much with Him? How many of you, you're still stuck in there? I'm sort of stuck there sometimes because I realize when I submit my life to God, it doesn't feel good sometimes. Anybody have control issues? Anybody ever said, well, I'm going to submit it all to Jesus? And then you go, where'd they go? Have you all faced that before? Is God working in our hearts? I want to tell you, let's go to number 3. God has a process to restore what you've lost. His redemptive purpose of God is accomplished in baby steps. Baby steps. Baby steps. They come back. They come back penniless. See, God has a plan. He got a plan for a kinsman redeemer to step into their life. Now, let me explain what kinsman redeemer is best I can. It's kind of an unusual concept. Leviticus, both 25 and 27, and sometimes it's about land, sometimes it's about people. But basically, it's this. Elimelech passed away. And Elimelech passed away, and so Naomi is living, and she has sons, and they die, and now there's no inheritance, there's no family line. And there was a way that a close relative could actually... This one's tied to both land and the person. So later on in the story, we see that... This is kind of cool. I'm going to get there and then show how it works. But we see that he makes a purchase of land and also makes a commitment to be the kinsman redeemer. Boaz makes a kinsman makes a commitment to be the kinsman redeemer of Ruth. But here's what's... This is the baby steps. Chapter 2 opens up and said, there was a close relative named Boaz that had a field nearby. And so Ruth goes out to glean from the field. And she's favored. Boaz says, who is that? And the guy says, that's Ruth, the Moabitess that took care of Naomi. That's his relative. He has a heart of honor. He's an older guy. He has a heart of honor toward Naomi and Elimelech. He knows that they left, and everybody's excited that they're back. And he knows how much Ruth has taken care of Naomi. He really admires what she's done, and she's a hard worker, and she's staying in the field all day. And they said, let's go ahead and favor her a little bit. And they start giving her more and more barley and more and more barley. She goes home with these loads of stuff. And when she walks in, Naomi goes... It's so funny to me about Naomi. Naomi blames God when it's all bad, but when she sees a way out, she goes, God's not left us yet. God's going to work this out. And it's amazing when you come back to the house of bread, God has a redemptive process for you. He's ready to take your mess up and walk you through to developing a masterpiece out of your life. But there's a road to redemption, and it requires your participation with submitting to the things that He has for you. Are you there? There are certain things that you and I need to not bolt and run back to Moab. By the way, Moab, you got to leave Moab, but you got to go back to the house of bread. She could have gone to the Philistines or gone to the Amorites or gone to whatever. You know, some people bounce, they get out of destruction, they go over here to something else and just go cycle around all the bad stuff. The world's the world, isn't it? But the presence of God in the house of God and the fulfillment of what He has for you, when you're among His presence, His people, His word, His processes, they cause you to come to places of restoration that you would have never known you could have ever been in. He takes the pieces and puts them back together again in a way that brings healing and restoration to you and I. And it's so incredible how He does that. And I believe He's doing some of that today as we listen to this together. I think when we talk about a theme like this, I believe the Lord just goes, hey, remember this? You're stuck right here. This is your Moab. Hey, let's get out of this. hey, you're making the right decision. Let's walk to the house of bread together. I have relationships. I have kinsmen. I have a, by the way, the real relationship is with Jesus anyway, isn't it? Because Boaz is a picture of Jesus. And so Naomi goes, God's not done with this yet. And now it says, when the harvest is done and when they have it all the brought in all the barley and they all have eaten and drunk and ready for bed, it says, I want you, Naomi, to go and wait for everybody to be asleep. And then I want you to go into where Boaz is laying down. And I want you to pull up the... Now, it says it different ways in different translations. One says cover, pull up the covers at his feet. The other one says wing. One says the corners of his garment. One says the corner of his mantle. I want you to slip in there and you put yourself under the covers at his feet. I want to pause there and say, it's amazing what happens at the feet of a Redeemer. How many of you come to Jesus and bowed at his feet and said, cover me, Lord. Cover me. I'm penniless. I have no hope. I have no future. I'm diseased or I'm broke or I'm in trouble. I need to be rescued. And I'm coming to the feet of Jesus to receive what I can't do in my own. I've tried. I left the house of God. I became embittered. I've lost everything I have. I'm coming back to the feet of Jesus. Well, I just want to praise the Lord. I don't know what he's doing with me today, but I'm all messed up inside. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. And so Naomi tells Ruth when he's asleep. Basically, he's saying this. What this little act is she goes and she pulls under his covers and there's no lust. That's not unclean. There's nothing wrong. In fact, it's what she's supposed to do. She's assuming the position of literally a wife saying, will you marry me and redeem me out of our poverty and take care of us? In her humility, she comes and says, will you cover us? We've got nothing. Well, he's asleep and she's there and he wakes up in the middle of the night and goes, oh, what? And she says, would you cover us? And he says, he's very humbled by the idea that she would make this request. And he said, if you would be so kind so that nobody else knows what's going on, before the light comes up in the morning, that you would sneak out of here and I'll do everything I can in my power to take care of this. There was one man that was a closer relative than Boaz. And so he went to the city gate and he got that guy and 10 other elders, and this is how they did business. They said, Elimelech has passed away and he has a piece of property. It's Naomi's property. And you're next in line. You want to buy it. He says, yeah, I want to buy it. He says, well, when you buy it, you've also got to take Ruth. I don't want Ruth. That'll mess up my inheritance with my kids. He says, then you buy it. And so he says, yep, and he takes off his shoe, and that's the legal decree. He takes off his shoe and hands it to him, and then the deal's struck. And so they go back. Let's go to the next. So what you need to do on the road to redemption for God to make a masterpiece out of your mess is you need to come under the covering. You need to say, Jesus, cover me. Jesus, do what in me what I can't do in myself. Jesus, take care of me. We're going to be, in a few minutes, we're going to step into our communion time. The Bible says that Boaz married Ruth. And he's now going to, he's conceived a child with Ruth. And Naomi had gave him all hope of ever having a grandbaby. Grandbaby is a picture of the lineage going forth, but it's also a picture of a fruitfulness that she never got out in the world. that God has designed a pathway for your fruitfulness as a person. It may not have anything to do with family lines. It may have everything to do with just what God has made you to be and how hell's tried to pervert it and confuse it and mess you up and get you depending on things that you don't need to be depending on and cause you to come to your senses and come to Jesus' feet and say, cover me, Lord. I don't want to leave this place. I want to have you working in my life. Is that right? The Spirit of the Lord is just working right now. Let's just praise Him. Lord, just thank you for softening hearts, for giving help, for coming into this room and moving into our revelation of our heart, that your deep love, you're the Boaz. You're the Boaz that says, yes, I will take care of it. I'll redeem you back. You won't be penniless. You will be taken care of. I'll redeem the family line of Elimelech. We'll get you back on the map with your inheritance. And Elimelech's family, it's an amazing thing because Boaz was the lineage of Judah. And Jesus is from the lion of the tribe of Judah. And Judah, Boaz was his lineage, probably about five generations down. And he marries Ruth, and they have a son, and his name is Obed. And then all the ladies in the town say, we want you to celebrate. And they started calling the baby. They didn't call the baby Ruth's baby. They called the baby Naomi's baby. They begin to honor Naomi. How many of you see how beautiful it is to come full circle, to have turned your back on God and gone out into the world and had death happen to you and crisis happen to you and become embittered and then come back. And God says, as you come back, everything you lost, I'm going to restore. What you lost, I'm going to put back into place. I'm going to cause you to have what you couldn't have had on your own terms. I'm going to set a process in order to make you, cause you to be a redeemer. And it's never too late. It's never too late. Somebody say, I'm coming to the house of bread. I'm going to walk all the way through the door. Cover me, Jesus. Cover me, Jesus. I'm going to be redeemed to the fullness of what you have for me. Somebody praise Him. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Let's have those that are going to serve communion come on up, and I want to ask if you would begin to hand out the elements. Cover me. Cover me. Stretch the corner of thy mantle over me. Because thou art my nearest kinsman, cover me, cover me, cover me. When I was in California, I had gone to, before that, I had gone to an Assemblies of God liberal arts college and gotten a biblical studies degree. There was about five of us that went out to Fuller Seminary, and I was at Fuller Seminary and I saw Jack Hayford on television, and something quickened in my heart and I said, I need to find out where this guy is. And they said, well, we're in the San Gabriel Valley, he's over in the San Fernando Valley. So a friend of mine started giving me a ride over to church over there, and I felt like the Lord was saying, you need to switch tracks and you need to come. And the Lord was directing my, even though I wasn't out in the world, in a sense, you know, I was just trying to find my way. And the Lord says, you need to come into this place. And I remember asking the Lord what to do. And the Lord showed me a picture. He showed me a picture of me standing outside of a tent. And then He showed me a picture of me lifting up the side of the tent and pulling over my head and stepping inside of the tent. And the Lord said, include yourself in this family. Those are the words, include yourself in this family. The Lord says, I'm going to cover you. And this is where I met my wife. This is where the foundations of worship and and all the concepts. This is where the healing process started. I came to a house of bread, and the Lord says, I'm going to cover you. I'm going to take what the devil ripped off from your life, and I'm going to restore to you what you lost in the abuse of your childhood, where you couldn't function as a normal adult. I'm going to break every curse off of you. I'm going to deliver you out of all the bondage and hurt and everything you went to in the world that created death in your life, because you've come to be covered in the house of God. And I'm proof that cover me works. And the Lord said, I had a whole life plan for you. I have all the details worked out. He gave us an incredible daughter, and she was a miracle. And I prayed, and God gave us a phenomenal son-in-law. And now we got a little African from the Democratic Republic of the Congo as our little grandson. And he has a destiny and a plan and a purpose for his life. God says, you didn't know I was going to reach halfway around the world. And a beautiful granddaughter who keeps him in line. Oh, man. There's bread in the house of bread. There's divine purpose. And this is where God says, I don't care how broken you were. I'm going to use your brokenness and create a marvelous future. I'm going to piece things together in your life that have been so shattered that you don't know how that would work. But if you keep showing up at Jesus' feet, I'm going to rebuild your life. And I cause the trajectory and the purposes of my life to shoot you a long way, and you'll never have ever understood the level of purpose that I had designed for you, even though you're coming out of Moab. Let's lift our bread here before the Lord. Jesus, we want to bless you right now. By the way, guys, if you don't know the Lord, this is the Lord's table. But if you don't know Jesus, this is the time to say, I want to know you, because this is what communion is about. It's about taking him by faith into your life. And the lacks that you have in your life, the Lord says, I want to heal. In fact, let's go ahead and pray. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you now to come into my life. Redeem me. All that stuff that went wrong. Bring healing and wholeness and hope to my life. I'm coming to the house of bread, and I'm partaking of you, Jesus. You are the bread of life. You are eternal life. And I receive you in my life. In the name of Jesus. If you did that, let's go ahead and partake together. Hallelujah. One of the beautiful things about the story is that there's restorative relationships. God has worked in people's lives, and they know how he works. And they will go to distance and help you be redeemed. Isn't that wonderful? God will take the brokenness of our past and give us a power and a passion to do something with our life that helps people way beyond us. Isn't that right? God gives you a desire to be more for others than you were ever in your own level of selfishness and being concerned with yourself. Isn't that right? The Lord wants to get all of what's in Moab out of us. Isn't that right? Get us into the house of bread. Get us walking into the redemptive process, taking the baby steps and coming under the covering of the Lord and getting redeemed. And then it says, there's a scripture that says, He is, Colossians 1:13, He has delivered us out of the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Where would you and I be without the forgiveness of sins? And the Lord says, I have taken you out of the kingdom of darkness, and I put you into the kingdom of the love of my Son. Anybody feeling the love of the Son? Now that happened like that, but to walk out all the redemptive purpose. Let's lift the cup. Because what this cup does, man, I'm sorry, I don't want to just keep going on, but this cup erases not only sin, but takes shame right out of your life. It takes condemnation right off your soul. It rinses guilt right out of your system. You don't have to ever be ashamed of yourself again, because Jesus says he's not. Jesus says, I spilt my blood to give you a brand new perspective of yourself. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Let's just praise him. Praise you, Lord. Say, everybody, say, I receive your forgiveness, Jesus. I receive your forgiveness over every area of my life. Forgive me for any place that I've accommodated or cooperated with darkness. I choose you, Lord. Wash me clean. Today, we break the chains. We loose the power of Jesus' name and sever the holds of darkness with the power of the blood. And it is our choice today, Lord, to receive forgiveness in its fullness and to be forgiving people. And let the flow begin in my life to bless those around me. Let's partake together. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We have some folks over here, pastoral staff, that are going to be available to pray for the areas where you're saying, I'm leaving Moab. I'm leaving the God of destruction. I'm leaving those things behind. Also, if this is your first time, by faith, you said, I'm receiving Jesus Christ in my life, come up and talk to me about that. Say, I did that. Man, is God good or what? You know, there's some of you that look like you look like you're in heaven having eaten at the Lamb's Supper, and you're just so satisfied. You look like my heart is full of the goodness of the Lord. Did you know that Boaz is a picture of Jesus as our bridegroom, and that Jesus is coming back for his bride? And it won't be long. I thought it was going to be a short time when I was a kid, but it's going to be much shorter now. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd seal. There's a completed work that you're doing and settling things. But we're praying, Lord, just like a seed that goes in, once it goes in and it dies, it bears much fruit. I'm praying for those today where hopelessness or doubt or those kind of battles, we're praying that those subside now and the famine's over and they come full into the production of life in Christ Jesus. So we bless them in the name of Jesus. No matter how young or old, we bless them that you're securing people. You're the anchor of their hearts today, and they need you. And we settle that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand together.